are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
And for a while, actually, and I started paying attention to this word several weeks ago, just praying about it, thinking about it, and asking the Lord how He would lead me regarding it. And it was probably due to an encounter that I had with somebody who really annoyed me. Oh, not here, by the way. So don't worry. Yeah, I won't point any fingers at all. And so I just began to think about when people give off good vibes or bad vibes, right? So I want to talk to you this morning about what it is to have good vibes and bad vibes, and what can we do with them, and what should we actually, how should we be mindful of when we're giving off either good or bad vibes. And I want to take you through a journey of Acts chapter 9, because it's really, I want to take us on a journey through verses 1 to 30. I usually don't read that much scripture, but I really want to because I think it really captures what I'm talking about this morning. Acts chapter 9, starting at verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. I would say those are bad vibes, okay? He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. I'm so glad that happened at that moment. That's all I have to say. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" That's a key verse. "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." We often think that we're just having a bad day and our bad vibes are just bad vibes and they're not affecting anyone, when in reality, we are affecting Jesus Christ and His witness in our lives. Huge, folks, to remember. So he replied, "Get up and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do." The man traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could not see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. And the Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.' Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, 'Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?' Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. After many days had gone by, the Jews conspired to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. There we go. So I want to talk about good and bad vibes. So wait a minute. Like, what is a vibe? What's a vibe? It's the abbreviation form of vibration. Vibe refers to a person's energy or aura in everyday life. People can sense your vibe through your body language, your words, your behavior, your spirit, even your appearance. Vibes can be both positive and negative, depending on how they affect the receiver. The perception of good vibes and bad vibes is among the most difficult human experiences often to define. The feeling that something feels right or that something isn't right has been attributed to factors ranging from strong instincts to subconsciously picking up subtle expressions, behaviors, or the discerning of spirit of an individual. How do others perceive you when you're around? Do you make them feel comfortable, or do you make them feel uncomfortable? So I want to travel through this chapter today, and I want to show you a contrast between two people, Ananias, who gave off good vibes, and Saul of Tarsus, who would become Paul, who gave off bad vibes. And I want to discuss what you can do to change the type of vibe you give off to others. And you'll discover seven good vibes that Ananias gave off and seven bad vibes that Saul himself gave off. And we need to be aware that we do give off good and bad vibes. Not one person just gives off good vibes. We all give off good and bad vibes at times. So when people meet you, you need to ask this question: what type of vibes do I give off? And I want to kind of break it down for you this morning. And we're going to show the slides. And on the slides, it will say good vibe and the number and the specific thing based on the verses in chapter 9. And so good vibe number one is Ananias humbly responded. People who are humble give off good vibes. And the Lord called Ananias by name in a vision. And there was a ready response with a humble heart. And so your humility of heart and spirit often will lead to a good vibe. Vibe number of a bad vibe number one, and that is, go to chapter 8 and look at verses 1 to 3 in chapter 8. And Saul was there giving approval to Stephen's death. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. I would say that's giving off a bad vibe. That's more than a bad vibe. That's just a bad dude, right? And so he aggressively opposed the Lord. And that's a spiritual place of bondage. When you are aggressive in your spirit and you're rebellious in your spirit and you're going to do what you want to do because you're convinced it's what you need to do, he was convinced he was right. We can be convinced many times that we're right, but the spirit behind being right can often offend. And so he's aggressive in his opposition. And he wasn't just persecuting people. He was opposing Christ. I remember when I was in my first pastorate, way down in Eddyville, New York, in the cornfield. And we had a treasurer. I won't mention the person's name in order to protect them. But this treasurer thought they actually owned the church. And I soon found out that they thought they owned the church. They behaved like they owned the church. And they thought and behaved that they owned Pastor Greta and I as well. And I remember the person coming to our house, and she was never pleased about anything. And she was kind of going over the books with me, and she demanded that Pastor Greta and I hand over our checkbooks. Oh, yes. And inside, my spirit is going, this is bad. This is bad stuff. And so she said she had the right as the treasurer of the church to make sure that I was handling my finances in a godly way. Mm-hmm. And so I had remembered a sermon that Pastor Michael Cavanaugh had preached. Because every week this woman would come and have something she didn't like about the church. Mike Cavanaugh preached this sermon at Elam when he first took over the church. And he said, there are six things that you need to know about a church you should attend. And if those characteristics aren't there, you need to decide whether you should be there or not. So the Lord gave me wisdom and reminded me of that sermon. And I write out all sermons. I take notes. So I went through all my books. I found the sermon. And so I took that sermon and I went to meet with her and her husband. I said, hey, you know, you continually come and you continually are mentioning that things aren't up to snuff and they're not actually up to the way you want things to be. And I said, and Pastor Mike Cavanaugh preached this wonderful sermon. I think it's going to help you make your decision because it's obvious that you don't want to be here. She looked at me. She was not a happy camper. And I went through, it was the first book in Corinthians, and we went through, and I said, these are the six things, and obviously these six things don't fall in line with what your vision is for what I should be doing. And maybe I'm saying to you, maybe today's your last day to belong to this church. And she wasn't there on Sunday. And then she took half the church with her, and she went, and maybe a few months later, she opened her own church. That was really what was in her heart. And you learn of people's aggression, of their aggressiveness, and why are they so aggressive in their spirit? And they set up bad vibes because something inside is unresolved between them and the Lord. It's not you. It's eventually if you watch and you follow their walk, it's something unresolved that they need control of. That's what it is. Good vibe number two. Ananias was an attentive listener. And I think that's a wonderful good vibe to have. I think when you are an attentive listener, people are attracted to you. Ananias knew that Saul had arrived in Damascus with the authority to persecute the believers. And he had a ruthless attitude. And it would require Ananias to be attentive to Jesus' command to go. Not only did he command him once, he commanded him twice. Not only did he command him, he spoke his name. Anytime he speaks your name, he's after something and he wants an immediate response. And so he responded with an attentive ear and an attentive heart. And a bad vibe number two is Paul had no interest in reasoning anything. And we see that in chapter 8, verse 3, where it actually says that Paul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Can I tell you this? He didn't want to listen to their testimonies. He didn't want to hear about how they received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. This man was not listening. You hear what I'm saying? He had in his mind what he was going to do. He was convinced he was right. And there was no reasoning or compromising of what he knew. And you have to understand, this was a very educated man. He had studied under Gamaliel in the synagogue. So this is a very intelligent man. He is totally convinced that he's called to hold up the law. Oops, the law. There we go right there. It wasn't a grace message. It was a law message. And anytime it's not a grace message, but a law message, often you'll find there's no interest in reasoning. Did you hear what I just said? I've experienced that as a person and as a leader and as a pastor. Outside today, I'm going to help you develop some of these good vibes. And I put together a packet. It's called Good or Bad Vibes Assessments. I love to do assessments because they help me realign the way I think, the way I behave, the way I interact. They help me to stay aligned in my personal relationship with the Lord. And when I was looking at this, I realized that, you know, we can take an assessment to see if we're actually an attentive listener. And so I put in here an assessment that will actually reveal to you if you like to be heard or if you like to hear. And so this assessment will help you to do that. It's a quick one. Takes less than actually 5 minutes to do. And if you get a score higher than 26, you're an excellent listener. If you get a score that's better than average, which is 22 to 25, you're average at listening. If you get 18 to 21, there's some room for improvement. And if you get 17 or lower, well, you need to practice more listening skills. And so this will help you to assess that. And because it's one thing to talk about, you know, good vibes, bad vibes, but I like to actually correct those bad vibes that I have and become a better listener. It's easy when you're educated, or it's easy when you have a position of influence or leadership or whatever role you have in life, it's easy to think we know what we know and we don't need to listen anymore. That's when we give off bad vibes. Good vibe number three we see in verse 13, and that is that Ananias is empathetic. It's believed that when Ananias heard that Saul was headed to Damascus, that he had to actually mentally prepare for that guy to land in Damascus, and that he knew that some of his friends, perhaps some of his family members, they were going to be hunted down, they were going to be arrested, they were going to be in prison, and then they would be ultimately martyred. How about somebody coming to town with that resume? I would be a little intimidated, wouldn't you? But he was intimidated, but he was also empathetic. And so he chose to move in empathy because the Lord had convinced him that he had a divine purpose and that God would take care of his Paul's character. He actually tells us in 14, don't you worry. I know he's caused much suffering, but he himself will suffer for this new ministry I'm going to give him. I've got this. I'm going to take care of him. He moves, and he's empathetic, and he goes to the house on Straight Street, and he goes and lays hands on him. Greta has a sister who's just a marvelous person, and she's marvelous because she is one of the most empathetic people I've met. One of the things I love when we go home to excuse me, please. Greta's family is we get to stay with the sister. And so we get to stay with her, and she will spoil you rotten. I'm not going to name her and give her address because I know most of you would want to go. But anyway, she is so sympathetic, so gracious with people. She has an ability through her empathy to hear your story and then give you feedback as to what she's heard and how you're feeling and what you must be going through, that by the end of your conversation with her, you feel so refreshed, you feel so listened to, and you feel so safe. So when we leave our vacation from her house, I feel like a renewed person because she's so gifted at being empathetic, and she so loves to hear about what your journey is like, what your process is, and what you're going through. She's so empathetic that she works with this organization where she helps families, children, go through their whole grief process. She does it as a volunteer. And she's so beautiful to be with as a person. And she gives off good vibes. When you're sitting around her table, you know that that conversation can last for many hours. And you're going to be drinking lots of good coffee or whatever you like to drink she has for you. And so it's a real beautiful time to be with her. Well, Paul was not that empathetic. He was apathetic when it came to that. And bad vibe number three was he was spiteful and hateful. And this is a divine encounter that Paul had with Jesus himself in verses 4-6. And Paul had been spiteful and hateful as he'd been insulting the name of Jesus. He had been insulting the cross of Jesus Christ. He had been insulting what God had done through his son Jesus Christ's death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. He totally was against it and was persecuting Jesus himself. How do you express your feelings when someone threatens you? You can develop a more accurate vocabulary and express authentic feelings so that people are confident and comfortable with the way you feel and think about even situations you disagree with. You see, he could disagree. People can disagree about Jesus. It's how they handle what they disagree about. It's how they verbally abuse people with what, because they disagree or they have a different opinion and they don't want to do what you're doing, so they're going to come down on you with verbiage that's destructive. Well, if you want to send off good vibes, you don't want to speak and communicate like that. And you want to be empathetic in spirit. And so in this packet that I put together, there's an actual assessment where you can develop more accurate vocabulary to express your feelings so that when you're expressing your feelings, you're expressing them. You can speak of something that's hurtful, but not be hurtful when expressing what you're feeling towards the person, perhaps, who even hurt you. But to speak in such a way that you're giving life, you're giving clarity, you're giving honestly what you think, feel, and know, despite their behavior and their verbiage towards you. And so this helps you to understand some negative actual emotions, but they only become negative when we mishandle them. You hear what I'm saying? When we don't handle them in a Christ-like way. They're normal emotions to have, but how you handle them can become a bad vibe for somebody else. And so in the assessment, I put that together for you to look at as well. Well, let's head on to the fourth vibe. It's a good vibe, and that's in verse 14. And we hear 13, 14, when Ananias says, "Lord, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." And one of the things I love about Ananias is he does not back down, even when the Lord's speaking to him. He's honest in his communication. He's honest with his concerns. And I think all of us give off great vibes when we're honest with how we're communicating. He doesn't hesitate to remind God who Saul is, what he's capable of doing, and what he's already done. And he honestly, he reveals his fears and his apprehensions because he knows his life is at risk. He doesn't know at this point what Paul's response is going to be. God doesn't tell him what his response is going to be. And so often we head into these relationships or these encounters with people, and you may be trying to actually, you're giving off good vibes, but they already have their agenda. They already know it, and they beat you before you even get started. They've made their decision about who you are, what you're doing, how you think, how you should be thinking, and they're going to tell you what they're going to do. And so he's honest in his communication. A bad vibe was Paul's form of communication, and that was, it was destructive and it was harsh. And we see in verses 1, it says, "Meanwhile." That word, meanwhile, means this has been going on for some time. This behavior, this lifestyle, this way of treating people, these words he's been using, this is not a one-time deal. This is not an oops, I slipped. Have any of you gone, oops, I slipped. I shouldn't have said that, right? How many of you have done that before? You came out of your mouth and you went, oh my goodness, I shouldn't have said that. Yeah, right? And so, but it says, meanwhile, he was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. So this was an ongoing behavior. This was an ongoing method, process of communication. And because he was so intelligent, because he was so trained, and because he was so focused and so convinced he was right, that no matter what was going on, he was going to do what he was going to do, speak how he was to speak. He was destructive and harsh in his murderous threats. And he was out to destroy the Christian believers. And the thing is, he had permission to do it. God gives us permission to do differently. And even if the world gives us permission, or our culture gives us permission, or your boss gives you permission, or your boss asks you to behave in a way that's opposite to the gospel, you as a Christian have to have honest communication at that moment. Amen? You'll give off good vibes when you do that. Now, maybe the person who wants you to do something offensive, they won't receive it as good vibes, but it is giving off good vibes. Good vibe number 5, we see in verses 15 to 16. And this is Ananias, and he honors God's will. People who honor God's will, they're people who give off a good vibe. You know why? Because they've honored God's will, and they have confidence that this is God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. If God said, go twice, he called my name, he gave me instructions, he told me what's about to happen, he told me why it was about to happen, he told me what was going to happen to the kingdom of God, it should stir in me a new level of faith. It should stir in me a good vibe. And out of that, I would want to honor God's will. Those are people I want to hang out with. People who are obedient, people who are actually doing what God's asking them to do. They're people, when you get around them, you're just like, I'm attracted to you. I can't wait to hear what God's doing in you. I can't wait to see God's plan unfold in your life because you're so excited that God has asked you to do this. Was he excited about what God asked him to do? No. He was terrified, but he still did God's will. Some people are like, well, it's too hard for me to do this. Or this has been going on for time and time again. And they start reasoning away, making excuses and saying, God can't be asking me to do this. Ananias, go. Ananias. He didn't do that. Go. And there have been times when I hear the Lord ask me to do something, I'm just like, really? Do you know that person, Lord? And he's like, do you know how it was for me to get to know you? Right? I'm like, okay, all right. This is a tough one, Lord. But Ananias, he knew his protest was overruled. When our protest, and we're allowed to, is overruled, and we decide to obey, boom, something in the spirit realm is changed. There's a confidence, there's a courage, and there's a new boldness in our souls and spirits. And it gives us an ability we probably wouldn't have in our own flesh. We wouldn't, it's against our personality. It's against even how we interact with others. But because we're convinced God's saying, this is what I need you to do, you release good vibes. And others are greatly attracted to what you're doing. And Paul, poor boy, bad vibe number five. This guy was so self-absorbed. He had a self-serving agenda. And Ananias eventually had no personal experience with Saul's harassment, nor his oppression of the believers, but he had received ample information from others who had experienced his self-serving agenda. He heard about Paul standing at the when Stephen was stoned. That moved through the Christian, in the Christian community, we think it's so big. But no. Back in those, once something like that happened, do you think news didn't travel from believer to believer? I mean, yes. There were smoke signals going up that day. This was a serious offense that somebody was martyred for their faith. And it was the first time. And they knew that this guy who was breathing out murderous threats, who stood at the feet and at his feet and watched this young man be stoned to death, he was capable. This guy was self-absorbed. He was self-serving in his agenda. We see in verse 17, if you read with me, in verse 17, says this. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul. I think there was something that happened in the supernatural realm. He went from, are you kidding me, God? Haven't you heard of this dude's testimony? Don't you know what he's capable of? To Brother Saul. He went from, you're no friend of mine, to what a friend we have in Jesus. Something happened. Something was transformed. And so we see here this surrendered obedience. So you can do God's will, but then you have to have a heart to surrender obediently. So you can decide, I am going to do God's will, but you can actually, when you decide, you can be so apprehensive about it that you don't fully commit to what God's asking you to do. What did God ask him to do? Go and lay hands on the man. Well, who knows? He could have grabbed his hand, twisted it, until he cried, Mama. We don't know what he was going to do. You hear what I'm saying? And God said, no. This is going to be a personal intervention. You're going to actually lay your hands on the dude. You're going to pray for him because his sight's going to come back. And then he's going to be baptized, and then he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he's going to actually receive new strength to do the things I've asked him to do. And when we surrender in obedience and we do what God asks us to do, we could be releasing kingdom stuff that we've never seen happen before. This had never happened before in this way. It's a new day in the church. Boy, are we ready for a new day in the church.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
So I am so excited to walk in surrendered obedience. We see a bad vibe, number 6. And we see verses 15 to 16. And we see that he is actually convicted to comply. He just doesn't automatically respond in the sense of, oh, all you have for me, Lord, I'm willing to do. No, no. There is such a form of conviction all around Paul that God is demanding a response at that moment. And what he did in convicting him, he took away so that he would actually himself surrender. He took his sight. He took his strength. It says he fasted and prayed for 3 days. Now, he chose to do that. He chose to do that. And so we begin to see a new compliance in his heart. But conviction made him comply. The Holy Spirit was so heavy in the moment. God was saying, this is a moment you're either going to pay attention to or not. I don't know if you've ever had one of those experiences, but God will have one with you if he needs to get your attention. I know that to be true because I've had one myself. We see good vibe number 7, and we see that in verses 18 to 19. And we see immediately something like scales fell off Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. And we see here in these verses a good vibe, and that is this impartation of life. When you are somebody who you get around people and you're surrendered and you're obedient and you're doing God's will, there is a release of life within you, that abundant life. And he actually lays hands on him, and there's a spiritual transformation that takes place and stays with Paul for the rest of his life. That's a good vibe, folks. God may be calling you in this hour to somebody who's living in such bondage, such darkness, so convinced they're so right, so caught up in their own, they're so self-absorbed and so caught up in their own agenda that they're blind. They're spiritually blind. And they don't see anything from a spiritual perspective. And God may, and you know their track record. You probably have argued with them already. You probably have shared your testimony. And they turn their nose up at you. And God's going to you, I want you to go lay hands on that person. You're like, oh, no way. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. He says, go. Go today. Watch what I'm about to do. And so one of the things I love about Joy is our prayer ministry here at Joy. There's so much prayer. And when prayer, the laying on hands, the anointing of oil, the holding of each other's hands, just putting our hands around each other to support each other, and speaking words of life, speaking words of hope, speaking the word, praying the word. And we have prayer. We have our intercessory team. You don't even know who those folks are. They meet every week and they're praying in Pastor Deborah's office. They're on Zoom calls. They're on conference calls. And they're praying for this church every week. Every week. We have altar prayer team. They're up here every week. We have the 12 tribes going out. If they're not going out, they're praying for this whole area that surrounds the church. And Brian and Sherry lead that ministry. We have a missions prayer group. I bet you didn't know about that. Every Saturday morning, Janet is leading a team on the phone praying for sometimes people group I've never heard of. And they're praying for people groups and nations for the various things that God has put on their hearts to be internationally minded, to make sure that our missions is just not home-based or state-based, but we have an international mindset in what we're doing, because collaboratively, those things work together in missions, right? And so, huge. And so then we have our elders, and they meet and pray. And our staff every week, they're meeting and praying several times a week. And so when you have prayer moving in the Spirit, you are tearing down principalities, powers, strongholds of darkness, even that people aren't even aware are even surrounding, impacting, or influencing their lives. When you have that much prayer going on in a week in one place, you think Jesus isn't going to do something? Hallelujah! Amen. And then we have everybody here in their own prayer closets praying. That's pretty good stuff. Good vibes are going up to heaven from this place. Amen? Amen. And somebody just said my favorite term, Uchiwawa. Means God's done it again. Praise the Lord. And we see a place we don't want to end at. And that's bad vibe number 7. And that's actually found after he's converted. After Ananias has done all he's done. And 3 years, this is 3 years later, verse 26. Because he was asked up in Damascus and around Arabia. And then he headed back to Jerusalem 3 years later. And if you go to verse 26, it says, when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all, what? Afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. They weren't convinced yet. 3 years later, a lot had already happened, a lot of transformation. He wasn't the same guy, but because of the ministry, or because of the way he handled himself before, he still imparted fear and intimidation. And you can be a saved individual, and the vibe you give off is one of fear and intimidation, and it's a bad vibe. They did not know if this was now one of his schemes. They weren't convinced that this was just another strategy, that he'd move around them, and then he'd take them captive and persecute them. They weren't convinced that he wouldn't do that. What did it take? Listen, somebody else who had good vibes, Barnabas. He is couched between Ananias, who had good vibes, and Barnabas, who had good vibes. And through that, Paul was transformed and began to minister in a way he had never ministered before. Why? Because it takes people with good vibes to release the power of God in our midst. When you get this assessment, you'll see that there's a character checkup list. And it looks at how you're loving, if you're humble, if you're pure, if you're self-disciplined, if you're integral. And those are character traits that I want to work on. And I've been saved many years, and sometimes when I don't check my character, I'm not giving off good vibes. And people are like, whoa, what's this about? They get that, you know, they get, I don't want people to go, when I walk in their sphere. Anne's laughing in the front here going, seen that before, Pastor. You see, Ananias saw a dynamic demonstration of the truth that God's grace can overcome anybody's bad vibes and their background. Amen? If we want to change people's perceptions of who we are, we will need to change the type of vibes we give off to others. We will need to evaluate our current attitude, how our spirit is impacting those surrounding us. If we complain too much, if we judge, if our words are life-giving or destructive, if we're empathetic or inconsiderate, if we're authentic or superficial. Are we optimistic or pessimistic? Do we smile or do we frown? Do we smile or do we frown? Some of you need to smile. A smile can transpose any situation. Amen? And any vibe you give off. And I just want to encourage you that Ananias has challenged me as a believer not to be so apprehensive, not to be reluctant, not to be intimidated of people who send off bad vibes. I can tell you, God sends me into situations every day, every week, because as a pastor, you don't know where you're going sometimes, but he's sending you, and you need to go. And can I tell you, there are times that I am not received. That doesn't give me permission to become a snot-nosed brat. That means that I go in with a spirit of grace, empathy, consideration, listening ear, listening heart, understanding that something went wrong here for them. And I get a chance to turn this around. Even if they're not going to let me, I will get a chance somehow to pray, encourage, or do something that God commands me to do in honor of his name. How many of you are ready to send off some good vibes today? Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we've spent in your word. And you are challenging us, Lord, to approach people with the message of your grace. You're asking us to consider having an Ananias heart where we are humble, where we're attentive listeners, we're empathetic, where we're honest in our communication, where we honor your will, where we surrender our obedience, and where we get to impact and impart people's lives. May we come back in the days to come with new testimonies of people that perhaps we didn't have a good connection with before, but now you've made a way for us to have good vibes in that relationship. Lord, let us be people that when we go and we go into an atmosphere where there's hostility, where there's personal agendas, where there is control and manipulation, that we go with a life-giving spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Isn't God good?
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.